This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Welcome back to the ASI weekly Q&A with Sheikh Akram Nadwi on every Thursday at 6 p.m. GMT. Without further ado, let's begin. Sheikh, we have some private questions that have come in, so let's start with those. The first question is there any sound hadith that has not been included in any of the six books? If so, does that mean if a hadith is not in the six books, it's not sahih?
Okay, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. You know, first thing actually is, you know, what sahih means, what sound means, it actually is not so easy to explain, because these are you know, technical terms. Hadith being sound does not always necessarily mean it is true. As if hadith is not sound, it does not necessarily mean it is untrue. Because sahih are just measurement, a technical thing. You know, it is not necessarily, you know, sahih and true, or sound or true, both are not the same thing. So these people have to understand, when muhaddithin say this is sound hadith, it means they have got a measurement, you know, by which they think it is more likely to be sahih. So everybody has got their own, you know, criteria. Bukhari has got his own criteria. Muslim has got his own criteria, and other people as well. So it could be possible that there are hadith in Musnad of Ahmad al-Hanbal and some other books which are not included in Sahih Bukhari, Muslim, other book, and could be sahih according to some definition. So we should not trust. But what we can say really, generally, if people have got the Quran, Muwatta, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, they will be safe. You know, most things will be there. If they also add Abu Dawood, to maybe take these things. So Quran you have, then you have Sahih Muwatta from Malik, Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, and then Abu Dawood. So generally, you know, most hadith that you need, it will be there. Maybe a few things here and there, but generally everything will be there.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next private question that we've got is, Sheikh, how do we assess hadith which have a very high level of sahih, i.e. they're muttafaq alayh or in Bukhari or in Muslim, but they contradict established knowledge, such as the hadith of the height of Adam alayhi salam?
You know, as I mentioned, you know, the people who say hadith is sahih or maybe Bukhari, Muslim, they're experts, and they really are very advanced people. You know, they're the best people in their field of the knowledge. But like any field of the knowledge, even the people who are the best expertise, they sometimes could do mistake. You know, like a medical doctor or something, you know, in any field, sometimes they could, you know, have a mistake. So Bukhari, Muslim, they have done their best effort to include only sound hadith, but it is not Quran, it is not something revealed, it is human knowledge. They have made their best effort. Allah did not reveal to them what is sound hadith, what is not sound. They're making effort. So it is, you know, possible that you know, one or two hadith here or there could be which is you know, not sound. But sometimes really, people have got a different meaning of that. You know, some people think maybe the hadith you know, does not look very true, but it could have another meaning. So we have to be very careful to ask people. So some people think maybe the height meant actually was the height in paradise. But in paradise, people will be different height. So it could be, but when Adam came to this world, it was different. But anyway, I'm not going in detail, but yeah, it is possible in theory that some hadith in Bukhari, Muslim, they are not, you know, so sound. But one should not rush, because sometimes you think it is not rational, but you can ask other people, they can find a reasoning behind that.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. That's the end of the private questions. Now we'll begin with the questions that are being asked on YouTube and Facebook. So the first question is by Farhan, who says, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I'm a 30-year-old man. I don't want to get married due to some psychological problems. Is marriage mandatory? What about the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he is not among us who does not get married?
Yeah, you know, it is a, you know, when something is sunnah, it means normally that what it should be. But, you know, there are always exception. So if somebody has got, you know, some character problem, for example, somebody becomes angry very quickly, and he thinks if he marries, he will hurt and harm his wife. He should not get married. And then he should find, he should control his desire and do sabr. And that why the Prophet said, those among you who can afford to marry, they should marry. Otherwise, they should keep fasting. So this is one thing he made. The meaning is there could be many reasons for people not to marry. And then they should have to be patient. They have to control. So if you have got some psychological problem, you need to refer to the doctors and ask what they say. If they have a cure, maybe they can help you. Otherwise, yeah, you should be careful. And if you have desire is strong, meanwhile, keep fasting. Fasting will help you, inshallah.
JazakAllahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question, also by Farhan, says, Sheikh, in the only mosque in my locality is a Brailvi masjid. The imam in dua asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for mercy for the sake of Allah. Is it allowed to pray in congregation in such situations, or should I pray alone at home?
No, you should pray in the jama'ah, because many of these things that people say, they have their own meaning, not necessarily to shirk. We don't want disunity among the believers. So go attend the prayer and be nice and good to them. Maybe one day they become better, but don't leave the jama'ah, don't leave the congregation.
Ahsan Allah ilayka, Sheikh. The next question is by Fawzan, who asks, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. My question is it allowed to pray behind a person who believes in Wahdatul Wujud?
Yeah, no, you can pray. There are so many sects, in Muslims. If we leave people because they have got some sectarian views, then nobody can pray behind anybody. So, you pray, you get your reward of your prayer, and whatever they believe, they get sin for that. In nowadays, if you start looking for the people's belief and aqeedah, so many problems. The best thing is, anybody who says I'm Muslim, just believe he's Muslim and pray, and you get reward out of it. That is my criteria. If somebody says I'm a Muslim, he's a Muslim, and then you can pray behind him.
Khairan, Sheikh. The next question, also by Fawzan, is how can we recognize the halal stocks in the equity market?
Halal and haram, they are not very, something confusing. It's a very clear thing. Halal is clear and haram is clear. So if something has got interest or gambling or something like that, that will be haram. But if, there's no clear interest or riba or no clear gambling, then it will be halal. And if you're doubtful, then ask somebody, explain the condition. Maybe people can find a solution for you. But generally, just doubts of haram does not make anything haram. That keep that I always understand. Things are halal unless you have proof that they are haram. If you don't have proof that they are haram, they are halal.
JazakAllahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question says, Salam Sheikh, could you please explain why Allah mentioned the suffering of Yaqub alayhi salam, who missed his son until he became blind? Can we let ourselves be in the same situation when tested?
The story of Yaqub and Yusuf has got many lessons, and the Quran has commanded that all the prophets must be followed and obeyed. So whatever lesson you can get from any story of the Quran, yeah, you should take that. Why Quran has been revealed. Yaqub's patience is very important. Many people, when they become angry with their family, their daughters, their children, their sons, they expel them from the house and they become angry. You see, Yaqub, he knows his son, have committed a big sin. But still he keeps them in the house. He's nice with them, hoping one day they become better. Because if you expel people, they never can become better. So, though it was big a trial for Yaqub, and he really suffered very much, but still he's so patient and does not complain to anybody other than Allah. He comes to him and asks him. And it took a long time because Allah wants his sabr to have guidance for many people, for many things. So that's why the prophets, messengers, they get more problem, because then people can learn from their lives. We can't have so many problems, but still we lose the patience. They don't lose. So Yaqub and Yusuf, they are great examples in the sabr and patience. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually read this story in Makkah, and it helped him for his hijrah, and then thinking that he follows Yusuf, one day he will be back.
JazakAllahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is, what does it mean to obey the husband in the context of the Quran? Seems like men take advantage of this for control and get what they want.
Yeah, and people take advantage of many, many things, you know. Many parents, you know, they expect their children to obey them in different way. You know, rulers expect the subject to obey them. Teachers expect the students to obey them. Everybody think, you know, people have to obey them unconditionally. This is not right, really. Nobody, the hadith of the Prophet said, لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. The most important obedience is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his obedience are in a limit. You know, you are not obliged to obey me every single matter. You know, one of the lady Barira, when she became free, the Prophet wanted her to keep her husband, but she didn't like. And the Prophet advised her, but she said, "Is it your command or advice?" He said, "No, it is my advice." She said, "Then I'm not going to do that." So you see, the Prophet did not mind. He allows people to use their own wisdom, their own thinking. So similarly, husbands and wife, they are in together, but there are many, many things where they do it as they like. You know, husband can eat what he likes, wife can eat what she likes, they can wear whatever clothes, they can have friends whoever they like, they can do ibadah as they like, they can do so many things as they like. But when it comes to the family matter, they should be in harmony, because you can't have two things, like, you know, like moon sighting for Ramadan and Eid. Yeah, that should be done, you know, by one person. But now we decided, same thing in the family. If the husband and wife, they differ, went to get married their children, you can't have two dates. So then husband will be like a boss, at least unity will come. Otherwise, both keep fighting. So in those matters of the family, where actually somehow they can't settle the problem, then the wife should listen to the husband, because he's the one who spend money and look after, and this is one way to settle the problem. So otherwise the problems are never can be settled. But you know, other things, nothing to do with, you know, your mother, have your school of thought, how do you pray, how do you do, what you read, what you, it all your, who do you meet, you know, nothing to do with husband or wife. It is people's freedom, they can do as they like.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. Just an added on question to that. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just to clarify, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did command us in a hadith to do X, Y, and Z, then we would be obliged to do that command, yes?
Yeah, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he commands people in relation to the Quran or obedience of Allah, ibadah, yeah, that must be for, because that's why he came, he's a messenger, you can't disobey him. But whenever he commands people about the worldly matters, you know, not halal, haram, you know, like how to do farming, yeah, that people know themselves, really, how to do medical treatment, you know, that people can follow their own medical treatment, they don't need to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what they need to follow him, halal, haram. So if some medical treatment are haram, that will not be allowed. But for example, the Prophet ﷺ did a hijama, you know, cupping, you know, this and that. So that's fine if people follow him. But if people want to have their own medical treatment, they can do. It is not, they are not obliged to follow. Similarly, eating and drinking, he used to eat Arab food, you know, Tharid and so many things. Indian people and Turkish people, Arab people, they have their own cuisine. They can follow that as long as they, you know, follow him in halal and haram. So I'm trying to understand, the Prophet came to guide the people, to teach people the Quran, to teach halal haram, that he must be obeyed. But worldly matters, people can, you know, find whatever convenient, whatever easy for them is. There's no harm in that.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Fariha, who asks, Sheikh, whilst doing household chores, I try to do tasbih or recite Quran, but I don't get full concentration as my mind is busy with the work. Will I get reward anyway?
Yeah, you know, if keep doing tasbih and keep coming back, it is better than nothing, really. Yeah, so you get some reward anyway. You know, your more reward comes with your concentration and thinking. But don't worry, keep doing, you know, even if you have little concentration, still it is better than not doing anything. I myself, you know, when walking and going anywhere, keep doing tasbih and other things. Though I know, really, I don't concentrate so much when I'm walking and this, but still something happens, inshallah.
Inshallah. The next question is by Chaudhry, who asks, what does the aqidah of Mukhtare Kul and power to do tasarruf of Prophet mean?
You know, leave this thing, because some people think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Mukhtare Kul, means he can do anything. He can change anything. He can, you know, make anything good or bad. So, you know, this is actually too much. Anyway, some people believe in this thing. You know, what we believe is Allah is the one who is, you know, Qadir, you know, powerful over everything. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is Allah's slave, that Quran said, and you know, Quran calls him slave of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He's owned by him, like we are owned by Allah. So we all are, you know, human being. We are human, but among all the humans, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the best one, chosen one, you know, Prophet and Messenger. But he's not God, he's not creator, he's not a master. You know, he's whatever he has got is all given by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and very limited. You know, the Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala did not make him to become his partner in the universe. Allah does whatever he likes. Nobody his partner, nobody shares anything with him. So, you know, we should not exceed the limit.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Jyoti, who says, Salaamu alaikum, Sheikh. Someone who is born in non-Muslim family, but she believes in Allah, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the last day, then will she be considered as a Muslim?
Yeah, if she thinks she's a Muslim, because, you know, some people do these things, but they don't think fully that they become a Muslim. Because Islam needs a declaration. There was Shahada. Shahada means you declare that you're disconnected from your past and now you're connected with this new thing. Just having something in the mind and the heart, it could be useful to you in the day of judgment, maybe. Because if people believe in Allah alone and the Prophet, on the day of judgment, you know, maybe he forgiven. But actually, to consider somebody a Muslim, they need to declare they're Muslim. If there is fear and they are scared, yeah, then they could hide and then say themselves that I'm Muslim. At least they should know they are Muslim.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Ahmar, who says, is praying Tarawih at home more rewarding than at the masjid?
Yeah, you know, Tarawih, all Sunnah prayers, they are better at home. You know, only the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said in the Hadith of Bukhari that, you know, all the prayers, it should be at home, except illa salah, illa al-maktuba, except the one which is further. If you pray Tarawih at home, you get more reward. And that's what people should do. And now people have made all this fashion and culture to go outside and leave the house. Prayer at home always have more reward than the masjid, except the first prayer.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Ibn Muhammad, who says, Sheikh, can you please clarify the difference between tadabbur and tafsir? Will a person who doesn't know Arabic and is a beginner in ilm be held accountable for misinterpreting the Quran?
You know, just on Sunday, I taught, you know, all course on this, and again, it's coming. So, I explained very detailed, actually, what tafsir means, what ta'wil means, what tadabbur means, all that, and something more will happen. You just need to find a recording of the course at least 1 hour in the beginning. It will help you to understand, because I can't repeat, you know, in this short question at a time. So, you know, Khadir, you need to tell people, you know, about the course so they can, you know, get access to that. Otherwise, if I keep repeat, and sometimes people ask question about those issues which I already have written some articles. And the reason is, so then people don't ask. So similarly, when I teach a course, the intention is then people, you know, learn from that, because more detail. If you ask now, I can't answer so quickly. It needs the details.
Yes, Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. I, for all the listeners viewing this, I have shared the course link in the comments. The course did start last Sunday, but you could still sign up and catch the recording of last Sunday and join the live session for this Sunday, inshallah, as well. And with that, we'll quickly move on to the next question asked by Farhan, who asks, how to ask Allah in tahajjud? What should be the format of dua? Is it necessary to ask in sujood, or I can ask with raised hands after 8 rakats of tahajjud salah?
You know, asking Allah does not really need any condition. You can, his doors are always open. You can ask him in prayer, outside the prayer, walking, lying down, you know, any condition you can ask. But what you need to know really, turn to him properly, ask him, insist on him. It does not mean that your mind is somewhere else and your tongue is asking. You should ask, you know, with your heart and think really, if Allah does not accept what I will do, nothing is there. So when you believe that Allah is the one who is going to accept, no one else, he will listen to you. But you don't need any condition really. You know, you pray in tahajjud and then ask. Even if you ask, you know, any time really, you know, still he listens. You know, he always listens.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is, what to do if parents don't want you to get married, rather they want you to be a career orientated, even though you are in your late 20s.
You only listen to your parent, in those things where they have got authority over you. When to get married, who to get married. The parents actually can't force you. They can advise you, but you're not obliged to listen to them. Marry when it is good for you, because it is your problem, and sometimes people can get sin. And who to marry, also your choice. If they advise you and their advice is good, that's fine. If it's not good advice, you don't accept, you don't get any sin. The Prophet made it very, very clear. It is your life. The people should understand, parents don't own you. They are not your creators. They are not your masters. They help you. So you be nice to them, but you don't need to listen to them every single matter. In the day of judgment, whatever you do, you'll be questioned. You can't say in the day of judgment, to ask my father. No, ask my mother. You will be questioned. Who are you going to get married? It is your problem. You'll be questioned. You can't say, I just married because my father forced me. That's not, but you are a human being. You have got irada, you have got power, you've got will. So who you marry is your responsibility. And when you marry, it is your responsibility. People can advise you, but nobody can force you to make a decision. When you're growing, like you become 20 year old, your mind should be like 20 year old. You should be able to discuss, understand, take advice. You should be able to say sometimes no to your parents nicely. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, he knows when to say no, when to say yes. His parents forced him to worship idols. No, he made it very clear. Actually, he asking them to leave idols and come to his religion. So, make very clear to your parent that this is my life and Allah has given me choice. You can help me, you can suggest to me, but you can't force me.
Sheikh, on this question, many women I've heard have said that they sometimes want to get married, but because their parents say no and they need a wali, then they face difficulty in this regard. What would you advise there?
No, wali is to help. If there's no wali, still they can get married. Quran has made women say marriage with their own word is absolutely fine. There's no harm in that. Still, if they want to be safe, they can find another wali, somebody else. But there's no need really. What they need is to find somebody who's good and not cheating them, not deceiving them. Somebody can be trusted. There they need to find out. If they can't find themselves, maybe they can ask help of somebody else in the community, some trusted people. Sometime could be your teacher or somebody else actually, who you trust, who's reliable. And then, maybe your friends, women friends, some people who can rely. Right? So, if parents don't agree, still the women can marry.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Fatiha, who asks, Salam ya Sheikh, how can we understand the meaning of being tested for those who believe, as mentioned in verse 2 of Surah Al-Anqabut, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يَتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يَفْتَنُونَ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way is that just you say something, he's not going to accept. He will test you and see really how true you are, how much sacrifice you can do. So if you say, I love Allah, so a test will come. Sometime there are two choices, Allah or someone else. Now you have to leave the other one for the sake of Allah. Sometime you go for the prayer, and that time there's a football match and World Cup and this cup. And now, if you leave prayer and you prefer the game, then yeah, you fail. So sometimes you have business and there's halal and haram, and haram has more profit. So you fail the test if you follow that. Allah will keep testing you. Whenever you have something, the test will come, trials will come, and sometimes trials can become very harsh. For some reason, Allah knows the best. Still, you have to be very firm. And ask Allah to help. May Allah help all of us. But the test always will be there. There's no life without the test.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The next question is by Hakim, who asks, Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Can we pray tahajjud after witr salah? And what is the correct way of performing witr?
Witr should be last prayer. But anyway, if you have prayed witr already, still you can pray tahajjud. Without the witr, there are differences of opinion. In Hanafi madhab, witr you pray three rak'ah with one salam. So you pray one rak'ah, then second rak'ah, then sit and do tashahud, And then third raka'ah, and in that one you also do qunut, and then you sit and do your tashahud and salat and the prophet dua, and they make salam. This is how Hanafi people do. Some other people say, whatever nafl you're doing, two raka'ah, whatever, after salam, you can make one raka'ah, and that will make your witr. You can follow, either way. The most important thing is that you concentrate and your khushu and humility, and do the prayer properly.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. The last question we'll take for today is by Laiba, who says, what does Islam say about psychological disorders, for example, depression, which makes people lazy, they can't do that much good deeds, which are important?
What happening in our time is, many, many things that have been made a very clear disease. And people then start thinking they are, not feeling well, they are sick, and they should. Sometime it could be really is just matter of your thinking, thought, you can overcome that. So there are psychological problem, and sometime all those things. But if people become strong, and then they concentrate on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, they do ibadah, and they think really, no, I'm strong enough, Allah will help you. You can improve yourself, like a physical thing. Sometimes physically you are not fit for something, and people say, oh, you're not fit, you become even more lazy. But somebody who is clever says, no, I'm fine. And then he does exercise, goes here, there, and improves himself. I've seen really sometime, in this competition, even the people who are disabled, they win the competition because, they believe they will do, and they make effort, they do. So mental health is like, physical health. People who physically, weakness, they can become very, very strong by thinking. Mind is the most important thing. Thinking, no, I'm fine, I will do this, I will overcome, I've not let myself to surrender to any condition. Depression comes because you think, no, there's no hope. No, there's hope, all the time. So, people should never be weak. This weakness is very, very, mental weakness is even a problem, really. So, yeah, if there really a problem, that's fine. I don't, deny that. But I'm saying many things come because you think you can't do. But you can do, really. That, I say physically people are weak, but the thing, no, I can do, and they do.
Jazakallahu khairan, Sheikh. That was the final question for today. I'm sorry if your question wasn't answered, so please do remember it. Inshallah, we will look at it next time. There will be no Q&A next week as Sheikh is away, but join us again the week after where we will start in Ramadan. So for tonight, Jazakallahu khairan for joining. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.